93FM. Keith Murphy.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Andy Fails.
I pity the fool.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
You can do it!
On 1460 KXNO, and now on 106.3 FM.
Welcome to the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Glad to have you with us here on a Tuesday. Keith Murphy, Andy Fails, and Andrew Downs. And Andy, I would say the about the past 18 hours, I've been a de facto hotline trying to answer questions primarily of sports fans and parents of youth athletes and just a lot of confusion out there. And trying to answer as many of those as I can, but there's a lot about the new rules.
Yeah.
I guess I was thinking that went without saying, but it probably doesn't. Yes, about the new proclamation that went into place last night, and some of it does strike me. It's such a wide swath, and we tend to think of how it impacts our own world that I think there are some things that you can tell that haven't been thought of by those who drafted it until they're asked the question.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because a couple of times the governor's
office...
It's
hard to consider every single person's different situation.
Right. And a couple of times the governor's office, and I will say, has gotten back to me with every question, but a couple of times have said, not sure, need to figure that out, or not sure, got to check with somebody, or let me get back to you on that, because...
There are exceptions to every part of the rule. That's the problem.
Yeah, and it's difficult too. Like the first big one, and boy, did it in the world of sports was okay. High school sports, pro sports, collegiate sports can continue. Does that mean junior high? Does that mean middle school? Does that mean if you're in high school and you're on a club team that you can keep competing?
Right. And imagine the club team. Yep.
And I think we have the answer.
But anything below high school is out.
Is out. Yeah, yes.
I feel like I picked up on that right away.
A lot of people didn't, because that was, I would say, the most frequent question with that. So let's get into some of this now, and hopefully we can clear up some of it as best we can. And questions keep coming in. And boy, when I don't know the answer, I'm trying to be sure, I always say, and I'll try to find out.
So we're going to just focus on the sports part here, or are we trying to do all of this?
No, we can try to, I think we should try to do all of it. It impacts our lives.
Well, if you understand it all, I'm glad I'm in the right place here, because I sure don't.
No, I'm not
I've read
say
this
I
a whole bunch of times.
I definitely won't say I understand it all, but I have come to know more of it. But like there was, we heard from our friend Brian Cooney, who runs Cooney's Bar today. He did not realize until he read through everything today that you can no longer have people, you can no longer have seats or anyone standing at the bar. I mean, they can't even have seats. You can't even have bar stools up there. It has to be clear.
Yeah, I didn't hear that part of it. I knew you had to be seated. And that was the case before last night. You had to be seated to be eating or drinking.
Yeah, you can't be seated at the bar. So you're asked to take that temptation away to get the stools
to keep
away
the gathering.
The
and I now again, many bars have already done that. They've removed those stools. So this is what makes it confusing. I mean, you go to one place and it looks like they've already moved ahead with that, and then you go to another place and they haven't.
Right. We saw that with masking. Many places, employees were already wearing masks when they interacted with the public.
Did that on their own. Didn't have to, though, at that point.
And now you do.
Right.
Now you do. So, okay, a few things here. First of all, COVID-19 hospitalizations didn't reach another record high, as it's 2,000-plus Iowans have now died from the coronavirus.
And they didn't reach another record high today, you're talking about?
COVID-19 hospitalizations did reach another record high, yes. And
yes,
we've gone over 2,000 Iowans whose deaths are attributed to COVID-19. Those two things, yes. First, let's start with sports. Here's the governor last night on sports.
With the exception of high school, collegiate, and professional sports, all organized youth and adult sports activities of any size are suspended. This includes basketball, wrestling, gymnastics, swimming, and dance. While high school sports and extracurricular activities are not prohibited, spectators at games or events are limited to 2 people per student and are required to wear a mask.
All right, so that was said last night. And even that, which seems pretty clear, within 5 minutes I heard from somebody who said, what about taekwondo?
Well, right, because when you point out a few specific sports, when you say all sports and then you make a point of pointing out a few specific sports,
mm-hmm.
and people don't hear their sport,
right.
then they question the first thing you said. She should have said nothing about any specific sports, just said all sports, period. And then that's it.
Because I don't think hockey was
mentioned. Hockey wasn't in there. There's was bowling in there. I mean,
right,
taekwondo.
Right.
I'm sure there's all kind. We know there are all kinds right. of crazy team sports that you don't think of. Team handball.
The Des Moines Bucks, for instance. I had to check on that today because not technically a high school sanctioned sport, not technically collegiate, not technically professional because they're not paid, but the Bucks are
cleared. Professional, right?
I mean,
it would fall into you just have to kind of yes. specifically say.
But I had to check on that, yep. and they were clear. Capitals and Oak Leafs.
That's high school.
That's high school. Now, it's not an Iowa High School Athletic right. Association sanctioned sport, mm-hmm. but it is affiliated directly with the high school. So I'm told that the Turkey Bowl for next week is on, and those two teams are practicing today. So that's one of the cases that's on. The three of the big questions I got immediately last night, does state football crowd change? I thought the answer would be no, but the answer is yes.
I thought it would be yes.
Well, it didn't change last week.
Does that fall into the two spectators? Right, but she didn't point that out this week. But again, she didn't point it out last week until right. you asked her about it.
Right. So just trying to determine. But last week, with that was probably the major follow-up question, and we were told, since the Unidome is a big indoor space mm-hmm. and there's already a mask mandate in place inside Cedar Falls, and since there's plenty of room to socially distance in there, it wouldn't apply. Then the next day, the Black Hawk County health department, they didn't want fans there. And then you and I, there was the conference call compromise ended up being 15% of capacity. So I thought it might stay there, but it does not. It is 2 tickets per athlete. And many people, coincidentally, had bought tickets yesterday morning. So what a mess that's going to be yes. trying to straighten out all those refunds and then get tickets to the people who still are able to buy them, because in some cases, they're the same people. Somebody might have bought them.
Yeah, some case they probably haven't bought them yet.
Yeah.
Some that can get them haven't gotten them, and some that can't get them have got them. We're gumming this thing up. Let's just get the rules. I'm sorry.
All right, no. This is the way, I think, the way forward to understand it better. All non-high school youth sports are suspended. This does include youth tournaments, like John Sears' kids play on youth teams. The email has already gone out. That's suspended for, it's nearly, the governor said 30 days twice today, but it's actually through December 10th. By proclamation, which is 24 days away. So there's that, too. She said 30 days twice today, but it's technically 24 days, at least by proclamation. There is no change to Iowa State's football attendance via the proclamation. Now, that doesn't mean Iowa State could change it. I don't believe has. I have no knowledge of any change being made there yet. But the main reason told to me is because this is an outdoor football game where the rest of these sports are indoor sports. But this does seem to many people point out that this does seem to be contradicted by gatherings.
Yeah, outdoor gatherings limited to 30.
Right, exactly.
Quite a bit more than 30. Although I guess a football game is more than 30 also.
You have 22 on the field and the officials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
look, I mean, when you make a proclamation like this, you do kind of naturally want to have a few exceptions, right? When you're talking about highly organized events that already have mitigation efforts in effect, where you're talking about a stadium that normally seats 61,000 people, and it has, you know, a fraction of that inside. I mean, you'd like to be able to make some exceptions, but when you do that, you muddy the water. You make it complicated.
And Iowa State did, well, first game against Louisiana, no fans except immediate family, kind of what the Big Ten is doing right now. Then up to around 15%.
15%. Yeah, 15%.
Something like that. So the games after that. But there were, did seem to be socially distanced. People were required to wear masks and did seem to be doing that. Have not heard about any change there. We should point, it's a good time to point it out. The question mark regarding the game is Kansas State. They have a problem.
Yes.
They are really short on numbers.
We got eight players or something that are out or something like that, and then that could change at any time between now and Saturday.
Yeah, the coach Chris Klieman said again today that they are hoping to get through the testing process and still be able to play the game.
Right, which runs countercurrent to the situation at Iowa State where Jamie Pollard is tweeting really, he's tub thumping a lot there. I mean, the whole athletics department there has been doing exceptionally well, staying away from the Rona.
Really, as well as anybody in the country. Well, Boston College still doesn't have a positive test. But other than Boston College, Iowa State has been doing about as well as anybody. Also in the proclamation, this gets away from sports a little bit here, but just the proclamation requires when people are in an indoor public space and unable to socially distance for 15 minutes or longer, they are required to wear a mask. So this is kind of the first mask mandate. I mean, it's not a all the way mask mandate, but you are required.
Yeah, so what are those situations? That's hard for me to figure out. When are you in a situation like that, when you're inside for more than 15 minutes and you can't get away from people?
Restaurant?
I mean, there's... Really? I mean, the tables are supposed to be more than 6 feet apart.
Yeah, I see your point.
I mean, where would that be? Would it be the grocery store?
Well, church, but that's...
Well, they've already said that that's exempt, which is another question mark.
Schools are exempt.
It's not schools, but where is that? It's not public transportation. They've already said you have to wear a mask on that. We know that.
Some office situations, right? I mean, some people in offices
maybe if you're that close. One of our producers pointed out meatpacking plants, but do they really have a problem? They've addressed all of this already.
Sitting in a barber chair, but I think all were requiring masks already.
Yeah, we had that with the last proclamation. I just, to point that out specifically, I would think that there would be a lot of examples of that, but I can't think of any, so I wonder why that's worded the way it is. To me, it makes it very confusing, where you have to sit there and break down the situation to the point where it's so specific that you would think that she would have just called out that particular business.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder if you're getting something wrong. And you know, the whole point is, the more detailed it is, the more likely people get frustrated trying to figure it out and just say, screw it, they don't wear a mask, which defeats the purpose.
Additional mask requirements imposed for certain specific establishments and gatherings. Proclamation also limits indoor social, community, business, and leisure gatherings to or events to 15 people. Indoors, outdoor gatherings limited to 30, which AD just pointed out, and that includes wedding and funeral receptions, family gatherings, and conventions. Does not restrict gatherings that occur in the workplace as part of a normal daily business or government operations. All right. Also today...
But if you can distance and wear a mask in all those situations, you can still have them, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Distance or wear a mask, right? Because if you could stay 6 feet apart, you don't need the mask. The mask is only if you are within 6 feet for 15 minutes at a time.
Yeah, and if you were...
Not 14 minutes.
Right.
If you were to pick one or the other, the science seems to suggest that the physical distancing is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, the droplets travel 6 feet.
Yeah, and the mask doesn't necessarily keep you from getting COVID-19.
No, but it can, at the very least, reduce the spray of the droplets so that they can't travel as far.
Also today, Governor Reynolds says she suspended all sports below the high school level for 30 days to help get COVID-19 numbers down. She says she thinks high school is a more controlled environment in terms of trying to wear masks or take temperatures or follow the rules a little better. And this was met by me with from several people contacted me about they had been at a middle school game or a junior high game or a youth tournament, and everybody was following the rules. And not, I'm sure that's true in many cases, but in many cases it's not true. I've also heard of many reports of, you know, packed gyms for weekend tournaments where people are just shoved in there and they're all together and there's not much mask wearing. And this is what happens when you have something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a picture inside the gym. Everybody's all nicely spread out. But then when they have to go through the doors, the hallways, to the bathrooms to get in and out, that's when that stuff is passing around.
Yeah, so, yes, there are examples of people who have absolutely done it the right way, but you
just
kind of have to make blanket, make blanket statements here, blanket rules. So that's where we are. One change that was made that was the subject of quite a bit of discussion on the Sound Off show on WHO 13 Sunday night is the change has been made now to extracurricular activities, that it is two spectators per athlete, competitor, or performer. So cheerleaders, band, if they're performing, dance team, they can also have.
Yeah, but there's no band performances. We know that.
Yeah, that's probably.
They pointed that out. No band performances.
Yeah, no band performances. Although, if you see what the college bands have done, they found a way to like wrap the instruments and everything.
Yeah, they have it kind of over the horns and stuff.
Have like a cover to go over that stuff.
Which kind of just looks cool.
All right, let me repeat here one time just to make sure we're getting all this. All right, she has, AD played that. Restaurants, bars, bowling alleys, arcades, pool halls, bingo halls, and indoor playgrounds are required to close at 10 p.m. Cannot host private gatherings of more than 15 people. Masks must be worn by staff who have direct contact with customers. Customers must wear masks when they are not seated at their table to eat or drink. Proclamation also requires masks inside casinos. Even this kind of thing, which seems pretty cut and dried, I have had a question from somebody who said, I'm a cook. I don't interact with the public. Do I have to wear a mask? And I said, to me, the spirit of it is that as the cook, you are interacting, sure. You're making the food.
Yeah.
But I understand why you're saying that, you know, the cook was basically saying, I don't ever interact
with the back.
Somebody else said today, I work in a convenience store behind a glass partition.
Right.
I interact with the public, but there's no way for, you know, I have a glass mask, essentially. Do I have to wear a mask? I said, my interpretation would be you do. But I understand the question. A lot of that.
Yeah, and further adding the confusion is so many of these places have already, you know, have long ago gone ahead and either closed down or required masks all along. So you get accustomed to seeing those people in masks in certain situations, and so you assume that they're following a rule, right? Not just making up their own protocol, but following a rule. And then when you hear that, you hear one of these new rules that you would think would apply to that situation, it's like, well, wait a minute, I thought that already was a rule. And it just turns out that somebody had gone ahead and been proactive and done it on their own. So it makes it very confusing. Look, I don't think that there exists a perfect plan for this among all the governors in the United States. I mean, I think you can go to every state in America right now, and the governor is unpopular. The governor is, in some states, really unpopular right now. And in other states, just far less popular than they would be normally. Because no matter what you do in the situation, you're upsetting somebody. You're hurting somebody's business. You're cutting out somebody's activity that's important to them. You're making somebody's family member miserable, uncomfortable, to which you get defensive.
Yep.
You are imposing unpleasant rules on people's lives. I mean, wearing a mask, even for people. Does anybody enjoy wearing a mask? No, I don't think so. They're not fun.
Lady Gaga, maybe?
Well, I mean, yeah, like these, they're not made for living your everyday life, and they're made for surgeons and stuff. So, I mean, I think as tired as we all are of hearing that, I mean, you just owe a little bit of grace to to everybody. What all governors right now are trying the best they can to, what they think is the best they can, to do what's right for the people in their state. I don't think anybody is out there just saying, you know what, man, I'm going to stick it to the people in the opposite political party.
Well, yeah.
And you know, look, I can find a whole bunch of things that I don't think that Governor Reynolds has done well, but I do think that she is trying to do the best she can here.
Well, I believe that too. And I also believe that we can see here that this is an attempt to do as much as possible without shutting down the economy or going to lockdowns.
Well, no, you are literally trying to do as much as possible while still doing as little as possible, which is impossible.
Right. We have had people complaining.
You don't want to be intrusive, but you want to be effective. And people say, well, you know, you can't be effective unless you're intrusive. People say, well, no, you can't be effective unless you're intrusive. No, don't be intrusive. Don't be as effective.
Yeah, I'm so confused.
I know.
We've had people complaining for months that not enough is done. And now we have people complaining that way too much is being done. Yes. And the hypocrisy can land in our
we've had both
own
of those
front yard.
Time.
I mean, it happens all the time. Like, we have some friends, and their son plays basketball in a youth league. It's really important to them. Mm-hmm. They have been vocal about the governor not doing enough. Mm-hmm. And they are upset today that the basketball team has been shut down, because now it's in their world. And, yeah, and they don't even really recognize it because they're good people. But it's like, got to do more. Can't be doing this. Why is this open? Why is that?
You don't understand. We do all the right things. Yeah. If you just came to our basketball league, well, the governor can't go to everybody's basketball league.
Yeah, we can all justify our own reasons for skirting the rules a little bit.
How is this going to help shutting down my son's basketball league? Well, people feel like that. You're all for everything until it impacts you, and that this is why.
And then we have sacred cows that you have to take special care of, like church services.
Yep.
I mean, boy, you impose rules on people's church services, and you enter a whole new level of problems. You impose rules on our college sports. Who?
We love our sports.
That's a war that you're starting right
we
there.
We love our sports. CARE TV had a report nearly 40% of St. Paul High School students are failing.
That's an alarming number. I don't know enough about the St. Paul school system, but I would picture it as a big urban school system, probably considerably larger than the one here in Des Moines, with probably all the same problems.
Yeah, we need to know what is it in a normal year.
Yeah, exactly. But still, that doesn't, isn't that weird? That's alarming, but not surprising. As I said on Sunday night on What's Bugging Andy, nothing surprises me this year, and that's just the craziest feeling in the world. This doesn't surprise me. To all the parents listening right now, if you've spent more than a few days recently with your kids trying to help them learn remotely through their, you know, school-issued laptop, and trouble with the bandwidth and, mm-hmm. you know, the glitches on the computer, whatever, just the whole curriculum for the day, you know how frustrating that is. And how, if you weren't there to help supervise your kid, can you imagine? I mean, those kids would be like, I'm not doing this. I had this when I was in high school, I wouldn't have graduated high school. I could not have managed myself in high school in this situation. And I imagine there are a lot of parents who are A, sick of it themselves, B, have other things to do, they work or they've got other commitments, and they're saying, okay, I think my kid is old enough to manage this on his or her own, I'm going to have to do that, and then the kids just aren't, because they're not
right.
mature enough to do that.
And there's so many comments out there, and most of them are side swipes. Like, one of the most frequent things you can see if you're on social media, or maybe if you've just had conversations with friends, it's immediately like, oh, good, so COVID-19 shuts down at 10 p.m. That's good to know. Yeah. Well, the attempt here is not to shut everything down, but to shut down some of the exposure at the time where you're most likely to forget about social distancing, and then that tends to be, I mean, some of the worst judgment in the world is in bars from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
And when are they the most crowded?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you know, our friend Jason Garnett over at Juniper Moon was pointing that out, and I thought he was pretty good humored about the whole thing. We had him on at WHO 13 News last night and this morning, And he was saying, well, why is 10 p.m. this bewitching hour?
Right.
Well, at a place like Juniper Moon, it may not be to the degree that it is at some of these other bars where, you know, younger people gather later at night. That's when more people are out.
College bars, Court Avenue bars.
Yeah, but in this case, that's a rule that needs to be applied pretty uniformly because you're talking about competition between mm-hmm. businesses here, bars and that. And if you give one set of bars this huge advantage over another, boy, that can drive these guys out of business even faster than COVID-19 is. It's not fair. So if you're going to have a rule like a time cutoff, I can imagine needing to apply that uniformly.
Another thing I keep seeing, and granted, this is because I work in sports, but I'm being told over and over again, and some people even want me to admit that I know that this is all kind of a farce, that all the winter sports are going to be shut down after state football is over. Well, I don't know that. I don't know that. I mean, I understand why some people speculate that, but I don't know that. I don't know that that's the case. We're going to put as soon as the games are over Saturday, we're going to have another proclamation and shut down winter sports. I don't know that.
Well, you wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
I wouldn't be surprised. Because, I mean, the CIML.
That's what happened with basketball.
The CIML was asked to statewide for winter sports to not even begin until January 4th. So
let me ask you a question about that while you bring that up. So they asked the Girls Union and the Boys Association.
Yes. They sent a letter on behalf of all 18 CIML schools.
Okay. And the union and association replied, you can always do that whenever you want.
Correct.
Okay. But in that reply, it wasn't the CIML sort of asking for the association and the union to just decide that nobody is going to start before January 4th?
Yes, they would like to see a decision made with our numbers and with this proclamation anticipated and now in place. They would like to see it just be a statewide decision that all winter sports wait until January.
And in giving the answer that they did, the Girls Union and Boys Association seemed to me to say,
you can do that.
You can do that, but we're not asking everybody else to do that.
Correct. That's exactly right.
Okay, so...
And by the way...
What's going on?
I think that decision would come from the Department of Education, not the Girls Union or the Boys High School Athletic Association.
Right. And we've understood this is a pretty consistent thing since the beginning of the pandemic, is the Girls Union, the Boys Association do not want to be in charge of those decisions. They don't want to be that heavy.
Mm-hmm.
They want somebody else to be the heavy. The Department of Education to be the heavy.
Yeah, and they're working on behalf of the Department of Education. I mean, they're
at least in conjunction with them. Yeah. They're not going to go ahead of them. But don't you? If I had to guess, I would say that's what's going to happen.
That it's going to be shut down until January.
Yes. I just don't see how
many people do. I mean, right now there. How many of the CIML?
First of all, that doesn't sound unreasonable.
I think 11 of 18 CIML schools right now are all online.
Yeah.
And if you're all online, you can't play sports.
And there are more and more school districts around the state that are there or headed that direction.
You know what? What two CIML schools are definitely not online this week? Ankeny and Southeast Polk.
Yes. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, then you hear all sorts of cynics about that. But I think as of last week, there were 43 different districts around the state that were going online or had some schools all online. I mean, that's headed in that direction. So it seems like they should just, and again, I mean, as we pointed out, those have been proactive and just kind of said, all right, we're going to delay something. We're going to go ahead and make this decision now before we're forced to make the decision. They have been right most of the time through this mm-hmm. in being proactive. Those leagues, conferences that have thought ahead. So that just seems to me like that didn't sound unreasonable for the CIML to request that.
No, not
that
at
if
all.
If you lose the CIML, they're stepped out for a while or they're locked out, basically. I mean, that really changes the whole landscape of Iowa high school sports.
Scheduling, everything becomes more complicated. And I think what the union and the association, Tom Keating and Gene Berger, were politely saying is, we're not taking this step is not being taken now, but you can take it at any time. School districts get to call their own
shots.
But
they didn't say the part about we're not taking the step now, though, did they? I didn't see that in their reply.
No, they're just
saying it was implied.
You can do this at any time. School districts, you can continue or you can make whatever, because it's up to the
Do you don't want to play? No one is ever forcing you to play.
AD, have we cleared everything up? Do you have any other questions or is that it? Is that clear now?
Can we start at the beginning again?
It is a lot, isn't it? Jeez. We're going to come back and it's the end of an era.
SFR.com.
It's easy to save at your local Fairway. Just visit fairway.com and sign up for weekly ad emails. It's a great way to save on high-quality meats, the best produce, and more. Go to fairway.com.
Play a little Guess Whose Birthday here on the Murph and Andy Show. It's powered by Cellular Advantage. Murph, we'll start with you. Guess Whose Birthday.
My next guest is a 10-time Major League All-Star and 3-time World Series champion. You know him as Big Poppy. Please welcome
David Ortiz.
It is.
David Ortiz, he's probably been out about 8 years. David Ortiz is 49.
45, so it's a miss. And boy, guess who's
birthday. I don't believe boy. That.
Guess whose birthday.
He's an Oscar award-winning director who has become famous for his focus on Italian-American subject matter, such as his gangster epic Goodfellas and 1995's Casino.
That's Martin Scorsese. He's, he is exactly 77.
He's 78, so you get the point.
Or he's 70. I'll tell you, I shared an elevator ride with...
yes, you said he was a diminutive yeah. fellow. Boy, I can't
I think
talk.
My brushes
diminutive
with,
fellow.
My brushes with fame are mostly in elevators, it seems, yeah. All right.
Any of those people fart in the elevator?
I think
that's one of the worst things that you can do to your fellow
did.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, John Cahill has a great story about Dan Rather just turning one loose next to him in the bathroom. Right.
That was in the by the urinal. Yeah, I heard that
urinal.
Story. You know, there are people that'll they'll go to the mat over that. They'll be like, "That is the room for that. You have to be okay with that."
Murph, guess whose birthday?
Oh yeah, I've never even heard of it. So I guess you can dare a lick my balls, Capitan.
Thank you. I needed that today. Thank you. Oh, my God. That's Owen Wilson.
It sure is.
Owen Wilson is he's 54.
He's 52, so that's a miss. Andy, guess whose birthday?
My name is not Oswald. It's Penguin. I am not a human being. I am an animal. Cold-blooded.
What a...
That's Danny DeVito.
Weird movie that was.
It was, but... It was kind of a waste, right? I mean, if there was ever someone created to play the Penguin.
He played it well, but it was creepy.
Yeah.
Eating those fish and stuff. Oh.
Danny DeVito is getting up there. 70. He's 77.
He's 76. You win.
All around.
Well, that was a beatdown. I'm not surprised. The Vikings win at Soldier Field. Kirk Cousins finally wins on Monday Night Football. He had been 0-9.
Bears rush four. Cousins to the end zone. Touchdown! Adam Thielen with a touchdown. He has two.
That was part of our picks. You're welcome, everybody who got rich from our picks this weekend. We're 5-0.
Yeah, 5-0.
So no doubt we won that contest.
No, we lost to the Fanatics.
We were 5-0.
We were 5-0. Well done. We picked all five Bet Rivers games right.
Yeah, 5-0.
So you guys should feel proud about that. You should carry that with pride. You did well last week.
5-0.
You lost. We lost.
You want to concede? I think
Never.
We won. We won.
Never. We want a recount.
I've counted all.
I'm calling our lawyer.
I've counted all the legal ballots.
Nope.
Get Nate Bolton on the phone right now.
5-0. 5-0. So congratulations to us. We won the contest. We're very excited about that. So
if you're our listener, you didn't win, so don't expect a prize.
No, we won. I don't know about the listener.
That's just my disclaimer.
Well, we're not leaving.
I just have to say that.
We're staying.
We won. So
we need to peacefully transition.
Suck it, Fanatics.
To
we
the
won.
Sports Fanatics as the winners of the Bet Rivers battle.
Well, we're going to assemble our listeners outside on the street.
Theo Epstein has stepped down. with the Cubs, and he did it to promote Jed Hoyer. And Epstein says the organization faces a number of decisions this winter that carry long-term consequences. Those types of decisions are best made by someone who will be here for a long period rather than just one more year. Andy Thiel Epstein oversaw the Red Sox ending their drought and the Cubs ending their drought. That those are Hall of Fame credentials right there, aren't they? Just those two things?
Yeah, probably. I just you can't cut and run like that. I mean, that's the challenge of being a GM, not burning a team down and building it back up. And we know that you can do that. How about doing it again? How about maintaining success? Where it's tough, sustaining things. I mean, it would seem, unless you're talking about the Cubs, anybody can win once. You know, I mean, get some sustained success. I mean, that's a general manager there. You're not hiring a pitcher.
The guy led them to a World Series championship, their first in 108 years.
Do Cub fans want him out of there, though? If I were a Cub fan, I wouldn't want him out of there.
He's
proven that he can do this, that he has
built
done
his
it.
Team.
I wouldn't want him out of there. I mean, is he a one-trick pony? Is he only a guy that can come in and burn a team down, build it back up, you know, sell off the players, lose games on purpose, build a team back up, buy a bunch of pitching, win 1 year, and then he's got to cut and run, leave town?
Maybe, but if he is, what a one trick. I mean, he did it for the Red Sox, he did it for the Cubs.
But that the problem is
go to the Indians.
That nobody only wants one. They want that when you give them one, they want two.
Who needs it the most? The Indians?
Well, as far as a title, yeah. I mean, the Indians have been the longest in 1948.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, the Rockies have never won one at all. Who else?
Dodgers got off the
schneid. Padres have never won a World Series. Dodgers finally got off the schneid. Otherwise, he'd be a good candidate for that, probably.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's got that's not his style. He doesn't take guys that are already there.
I saw
the Red Sox had a pretty good roster when he got there. Though.
I saw a little bit of his press conference, and essentially he said that, you know, he had always gone into this thinking 10 years. I'm going to spend 10 years with the Cubs. He was hired in 2011. So apparently he and ownership had kind of had this placeholder as October 2021 is when he's going to the way he kept saying it, transition. We're going to make a transition. And then, as you mentioned, Murphy basically said, there are decisions that need to be made here this winter that shouldn't be made by somebody who is only going to be here for one more day.
And that's fair. You know, I respect that. That's okay if they knew all along that was the situation with him. But, you know, I mean, the fans care about the greatness of the organization, not the greatness of the general manager or the greatness of just one person. They want this built into a ship that's going to keep on sailing, you know, not one that could win one race.
Yeah.
And they believe that, I would imagine they still believe that he is that guy.
In the case of the Cubs, I think what most fans just wanted is one championship in their lifetime. I mean, I know
there's
that
no
then
doubt
you want
that's
more.
What they wanted most, but
it's what they thought they wanted.
They're not done wanting. I mean, none of them have stopped caring.
No 30-year-old in 2016 is going to be okay when they live.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't have to wait very long.
He might be one of these guys too that has that awareness of, you know, 7 to 10 years, you start to wear out your welcome and you start to need a jolt of energy for a new situation.
Well, the job gets harder.
He gets in there. Let's get these quickie polls out related to college football and what fans want here in the state of Iowa.
Okay, quickie poll A. Which game scares Cyclone fans more? Kansas State at Iowa State this Saturday or Iowa State at Texas the following Friday, Black Friday? And then same question for Iowa. Which game scares Hawkeye fans more? Is it this Saturday at Penn State or Nebraska at Iowa on Black Friday?
I'll say I don't know, of course, but I think for Iowa State fans, it should be Texas because Kansas State is depleted. And either way, whatever happens this weekend, that Iowa State-Texas game is still going to have a lot of meaning. And it's at Texas where the last time Iowa State was there, they did not play well. It was not really a competitive football game. And for Iowa, I think it should be the Nebraska game because as soon as Iowa loses to Nebraska, whatever Nebraska fan you have in your life, you are not going to hear the end of it.
See, it's interesting. I thought you were going to answer the same way with both of these, which is as a non-fan would answer, which would be the harder game. So Texas for Iowa State and probably Penn State for Iowa, even though Nebraska just beat Penn State. But Penn State's got a better roster. You know, it's better talent. That's a more dangerous team, I think, on
Sleeping
the field.
Giant.
But fans don't care that much about that stuff. It's the other stuff. It's the fact that Iowa State has had this problem with Kansas State. It's the fact that Iowa, as you mentioned, Murph, doesn't want to lose to Nebraska. That we work and live with Nebraska fans. And so the scariest game is the one where you as a person have more to lose. Mm-hmm. And I think in both these cases, it's the least scary game of the two on the field is the more scary game as a fan, because you don't want to lose to Kansas State if you're Iowa State. You can swallow a loss to Texas. And same with Iowa. You don't want to lose to Nebraska.
And I think a factor in here, too, Andy, is I don't really see Iowa as a legitimate contender for a championship at this point. So you need to go more with the emotion.
But if you can rattle off a long string of wins from here on to the end of the season, you feel so much better about the way things turned out for your team.
Oh, yeah.
But to
sure.
keep that string going, you got to win the next game. And if they fall at Penn State when everybody's beaten Penn State, the Hawkeye fans are right back to really not caring what happens this season. And yeah. the Nebraska game, they feel a lot more vulnerable about because they're worried the team feels that way, too. And you don't want to lose at home to Nebraska. I mean, clearly the Nebraska game is the game that you would rather have.
Yeah.
Because there's a rivalry built in there, and Penn State is way off in the sticks, and they've kissed off this season. And then with Iowa State, Kansas State is a team that I don't care how many players they show up with. You're going to get a game from Kansas State. You guarantee that. I mean, absolute. They always have all that they can handle from Kansas State, and they usually lose. And Kansas State is one of Iowa State's kryptonites. They've got a few of them, and Kansas State is one. When they go into those games where it looked like they should roll over the Wildcats, they haven't. In games where it seemed like they were going to beat them, they had these phantom calls go against them, these terrible calls. Remember those down in Manhattan that one year? Drove people crazy. Those things happen in the Kansas State game, it seems like, more than they happen in other games. You remember them playing well against Texas. Yeah, they've lost some tough games to Texas, but you can remember them playing well and winning a game against Texas. Kansas State, you either walked away dejected or you walked away thinking, thank God. I mean, Kansas State has been a rough one for Iowa State.
Throwdowns.
So rules for details.
Don't let me throw it down.
It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
Let's throw it down, Andy. When the Bears got out to a 3-0 start and then pushed it to 5-1, we would continually ask if this team was for real or if they would come back to earth. We got our answer with four straight losses. Are you surprised the Bears are now 5-5 and outside of the playoff picture?
Well, I guess not. I mean, I've seen enough of those games to watch the struggles with quarterback and just the altogether direction of the team. They have a good enough defense that you would think that with minimal offensive success, they would be a little bit better than this. But they haven't had any. The offense last night was the numbers put up last night were. Did they have 200 total yards?
Not maybe just under.
Oh my God! Yeah, and the Vikings have had, for any fans of any other NFC North teams, this has been a really annoying resurgence of the Vikings because you thought you could just count them out, and then they go and beat Green Bay, and they go and beat the Bears. But no, I'm not surprised. I've seen the offense play.
I'm surprised they're 5-1. That's the only surprise here. And Nick Foles is a guy you hope to get a couple of hot games out of him like the Eagles did with the world's most perfect timing that allowed them to win the Super Bowl. But there's a reason he's a backup in Chicago. This wasn't sustainable. So not surprised, and it could get worse because right now you can be sure that the defense resents the offense.
Well, if the Bears can do one thing, it's a draft quarterback, so I'm sure we'll be okay. The poll is up on Twitter, @Murph_Andy. I'm going to go cry in a corner for a little while, but people should vote on that poll.
Don't cry. Just think about the fact we went 5-0. And won our little betting competition against the Fanatics. Not very exciting.
We lost.
So, Trending Iowa will start our number two here on the Murph and Andy Show.